My story is so much about people. Those who've been in my life for as long as I can remember, others who have come and gone, and still others who have been there during crucial times. I want to talk about one such person in this episode. So I have a driver. His name is Subeh Singh. Not Subeh like the morning, but short for Subedar. His father was in the army. His son failed to go join it, so the dad made sure the army came home to the son. Now, Subeh Singh has been with me for about a year and a half. When I was leaving for Vietnam, he and I had both celebrated our one-year anniversaries at our respective workplaces. I was ma'am and he was Subeh. That was soon going to change. When he was dropping us to the International Airport's Terminal 3 in Delhi to catch our Thai Airways flight to Bangkok, Subeh Singh was sulking. You see, I'd blasted him a few days before we were to leave and had been getting upset with him over small things in the run-up to our departure. He and I get like that sometimes. He does dumb things, then I lose my cool. No one else makes me lose my temper quite like he does. I think it's his secret superpower, getting Madam G to use cuss words in her head while wanting to thwack him from the back seat. Now, Subeh Singh has dropped me to the airport countless times, at T1, T2, T3, for the odd international flight, and so many, many domestic ones, in winter, summer, and in rain, and picked me up from there as well, at different times of the day or night. He's trusty like that. I rely on him for this kind of stuff. In fact, he's someone I'm also constantly borrowing money from. I'm so used to plastic now, online payments, that I never seem to have any cash when I need it. So angry as I was with him that day in June last year, as he went to drop us to the airport for our Vietnam trip, I was reminded of an airport visit when he had decided to take the toll road for some reason. And I remember I'd got angry with him again because I didn't have enough cash to pay at the toll gate. Not only did the trusty Subeh pay the fare, he insisted on lending me 500 rupees when we got to the departure gate, saying, "Ma'am, aap rakh lo. Pata nahi raat ko kab land karoge to ATM milega ki nahi. Wapas kar dena aake." "You keep it, since you might not find an ATM machine later at night when you land." Then he smiled his gap-toothed smile and made me feel bad all over again, like I usually do after shouting at him. So before I left the car for our flight to Bangkok and onward to Hanoi that day, I decided to take a moment and have a chat with him before disembarking. First, I apologized and told him to take care of himself while we were gone. And this time, I asked him if he needed any money while I was gone. He shook his head, hefted our suitcases out of the boot, wished us namaste, and after my reassurance for the 100th time that my phone would work in Vietnam, I left him with instructions on where to park the car and who to leave the keys with, etc. 5 days later, Subeh would learn of my condition. He called my sister countless times to ask about me, and she, swamped as she was, all alone in a foreign country with my critical condition, kept ignoring his urgent 2-hourly calls, unable to return them till much later. He called for 2 days straight, till my brother got to Hanoi and told her why. He had learnt of what was happening with me in a country too far removed from his life and too distant for him to fathom. Talking to her on the phone was the only way he could be a part of it all, perhaps. GB has changed my relationship with the irritating yet inimitable Subeh Singh. When we got back, he cried. Constantly, he would tear up at the smallest thing, at the oddest of times. Or so I'm told. Mostly while ferrying someone or the other from or to the hospital, from home in Noida to Saket. He stopped clocking in his overtime hours in the register we kept for that very purpose. He didn't ask for dinner money to be added to those extra hours for the over 3 months it took me to take stock of my life, and another to take stock of his contribution and overtime. He patiently opened the house every morning and evening, got food prepared by my cook, and took it either to the hospital or to my brother's house where my parents and various relatives kept vigil. He ran errands of all kinds, made tea for everyone, shopped for veggies, did whatever needed to be done, whenever it needed doing. He was never allowed to meet me, but I knew he was out there, quietly slogging away, especially without me to scream at him every other day. Till one day, when I had moved out of the ICU to a hospital room, he inadvertently found his way to the sixth floor. My dad had asked him to get a notebook and some pens and pencils for me that day to start me on practicing how to write. I still had a breathing tube in my throat that prevented me from speaking, and one in my nose that fed me. I couldn't move yet, and a bunch of the hospital staff would lift me and place me on a recliner for a few hours every day. And that's how Subbeh Singh found me. I could see him start to tear up again. I moved my head and mouthed a few words to ask him how he was doing, and he tried hard to stop himself staring and holding back tears. My dad got angry at him for having come in without permission, but I think he had waited long enough to see for himself. He no longer calls me ma'am. I'm Didi now, and he, for all his misgivings and mine, is my man Friday. When I first came home from the hospital, he made sure things were in order after helping my siblings move me out of my apartment where I had lived alone for years. He would crank my hospital bed up and down countless times, make tea, which he still does, keep vigil all day, stay late to ensure we had everything we needed during that tough time. He even helped pour water from a bucket onto my hair when my favorite salon guys came to give me my very first proper hair wash and haircut in bed, who, by the way, also teared up on seeing me that day. I still shout at Subbeh Singh. He still bugs the crap out of me with his village logic and laziness, with his oily hair and beady smoking habits, with his refusal to use his brain sometimes. But his job with me is secure, for now. You see, people can surprise you. This disease has taught me the value of that truth in a way I could never appreciate it before. Nothing changed, yet everything did.